You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Hello, Dojo Disciples. This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, Denchi Mail Edition, where every other week we supplement our regular episodes with answers to your video game questions and talk about the latest releases of the Famicom Dojo video web series. This week we bring you our live panel from Daishokan 2015 in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. When we aren't doing live podcast shows at conventions, we're presenting interesting topics on video game history, bolstered by our videos, of course. This is something we used to do quite a bit before the podcast, and in fact, a few of these topics have turned into full-on videos we've done later. If you've seen the Minus Worlds video, it started life as a presentation that we tweaked and fine-tuned over a few months. Of course, we added Vink's interactions into the story later, because being in Japan, he wasn't part of these panels, except for the few times he was in the country. But the seeds for this topic actually started back in NobranCon 2014. And I don't want to give away too much of the story because we'll cover it in the podcast. But suffice to say, it sent us down a very interesting path. And here we thought we already knew everything about the battery backup. Anyway, on with the show. Although you'll hear me interject here and there to explain a few things or describe visual aspects that don't otherwise come across in the podcast.
Test, test, test. Okay, good. Hello, welcome everyone. This is Famicom Dojo, and I am Sean the Orange Course. How about being here at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night? Everyone excited? Yeah? We're going to talk about some video game stuff. All right, good, good, good. I'm glad everyone's having a good time because we're going to talk about something a little bit heavy right now, and that is death. Your favorite video games are going to die. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm really sorry. Oh, come on. What are some of your favorite video games, everyone? I'll take answers from the audience.
Star Tropics.
Dead. Anyone else?
Devil May Cry.
That's probably okay for a little while. Yeah. Anyone else?
Tecmo Super Bowl.
That might be okay, actually.
Super Mario 64.
Dead. Yes. I don't know if you know what the pattern is here, but, before we get into anything too heavy, because I don't want to bring us down right away, I think we should some warm-up exercises. So everyone who's able, please stand.
At this point, I'm interrupting the panel to do some warm-up exercises, which is something that we've done at many, many panels, and finally immortalized in video for our warm-up exercises promo, which introduced our Train Your Game segment.
No one has.
Pretty much the whole routine's there. It also gets a reference in the Madison Underground promo.
Oh, very, very good. You guys are great gamers, I can tell already. Please sit down. Excellent, excellent. I think we're all ready to talk about death! Terrible. I know. I'm so sorry. So some of these games that we were indeed talking about came up in our wonderful topic, but what they have in common is their cartridges. Now, does anyone know why cartridges are prone to this particular disease?
The battery backup will eventually drain.
That is correct. I have some examples, some were mentioned already, but Zelda. Dead. Gonna die. Sorry. Star Tropics? Nope, Shadow Gate. I never remember which one it was. Actually, you know, I heard that it had a battery backup save, but I'm not entirely sure about that, but it was Nintendo Age's list, so let's just go with that. Dead. Sorry, it's a really fun game, too. And one that's going to really hit home for some people.
No!
Pokemon. Yeah, especially these. Exactly. Dead. Dead.
Here I'm showing photos of games that are about to die, very humorously photoshopped to demonstrate that fact. We'll add those to the show notes.
Continuing on. Again, cartridges are the problem, and as mentioned, this is because of the battery backup save. Now, the reason why is very, very, very interesting. But let's, again, back up a little bit. This year is the 30th anniversary of the NES, and I'm dressed as one. No one's guessing yet that's what I'm dressed as. I think I'm just like an insurance salesman. But this is what I'm trying to go for here. Who has had an NES in the past? Who still has one? Okay. You have five? That's cute. Five is cute. But yeah, again, the main storage medium was these cartridges you see here. Although only one of them actually has a battery backup, Zelda, off in the corner there. So, it's really nice to be able to save your games, but has anyone been annoyed by the problem of having to input a password? Yeah, yeah, okay. I mean, what kind of games have you been really annoyed by then?
Mega Man.
Metroid. Right? So I think there are a few others, like Kid Icarus, for instance. And those were annoying at the time, but you know, as time marches on, those are the ones that are actually going to last the longest, paradoxically. But the thing that they also all have in common is that they were, many of them anyway, were originally Famicom Disk System games. Oh wait, what's a Famicom?
The Japanese NES.
With a disk system.
They had a bobby.
All right. How many people are familiar with the Famicom? Raise your hands. All right. I think then what we're going to do is have a little bit of a primer so that we are all on the same page going forward about exactly what this problem entails. So if you will allow me, I will, about the next 10 minutes or so, we are going to get a little bit of a video game education.
At this point, we're actually going to show the Nintendo Family Computer video that we released as part of the Winter Dojo. We usually play these videos for people who attend the panels because a lot of them aren't familiar with Famicom Dojo and sometimes aren't familiar with our particular take on Japanese retro gaming.
Famicom AC adapters are not ready to use the slightly higher voltage of US power outlets.
I cannot stress this enough, by the way.
You may find need a replacement. Even if you have an NES power adapter laying around, and even though it does fit, do not use it. I mean it.
So, fun little fact. That Popeye game was originally a Donkey Kong game, so it's really appropriate they're all bunched together as launch titles. All right, so that's what we had for the Famicom. Now to bring it forward a couple of years to the Nintendo Entertainment System.
And we also showed the NES video, which came out for the one-month anniversary of the system's 30th anniversary of being released. We typically pick videos like these that have to do with the topic. Unfortunately, we even deliberately added a little tease in the NES video that sets up this topic very nicely. The video talks about the differences between NES and Famicom cartridges quite a bit, which is important, but the most important was this part.
Similarly, Nintendo published games originally released for the Famicom Disk System all used the same board on the NES. Reserving the spot for the battery backup to be used when the technology was cost-effective enough to include.
So first of all, a round of applause for Vink, please, who can't be here, but will be listening later on. And so, hey Vink, it's my cohort of the computer man, we did the show together. So these kind of tidbits and things we hinted at in these videos are the kinds of things that we typically do on the show, the video series and the podcast. So the main takeaway here is the cartridges, and this was the go-to format of the era. It was a hardware decision. You were able to plug in basically a daughter board into a motherboard, and circuits are complete, and away you go, you're playing the game. I mean, originally, video home consoles were just the unit, some built-in stuff, maybe two or three games if you were lucky, and then they basically just modularized this technology, and that's why we have cartridges, and then now these discs that Nintendo tried to release in Japan, which anyone who owned a PC at the time used this similar to these, or the big, giant 5 1/4 inch floppies. But this also presented a particular problem for saving game data, which is something that the Famicom Disk System was able to do that cartridges could not. And as we saw there, one of the big differences was that expansion slot, which was intended specifically for use for the Famicom Disk System in the US, was never released. So, what did Nintendo do instead? They made the battery backup. And, I mean, you think these discs are bad, but that pales in comparison to the data recorder. There we go. That is an actual tape deck. That's all it is. Tape deck has a tape inside of it. Records data through the microphone input, spits it back out through the earphone output, essentially. There's a whole video on this online if you guys want to watch it. It's pretty long, but pretty interesting. So if you ever played Excitebike, for instance, and wonder why there was a save option that never worked, this is why. Well, that's a good enough tease. So, okay. Not that. There we go. Cartridges. I've mostly gone over that already. So, again, there was a clip in there for Kid Icarus, which is a password game in the U.S. It was a Famicom Disk System game. in Japan, so they reprogrammed it. But there was something a little tricky about this one. If anyone has tried to find a converter cartridge before, there's a very specific pattern to the pins if you're looking at it, so you can decide between that and the weight. If like a game like Gyromite, which was demonstrated in that video, has a converter inside of it or not. And I found a cartridge like this. Well, why don't I just show you? We saw part of the clip already in there, but let's go over the whole thing. This is at NoBrandCon 2014, I believe, that I recorded this.
We're going to skip over this. You know the drill. Suffice to say that Kid Icarus looks like it has a converter cartridge inside. But when you actually open it up, you get something else.
This shows how forward-thinking Nintendo was, because since making that, we figured out what was going on there. Despite that they developed and released the data recorder in 84 and the Famicom Disk System in 86, which never came to the U.S., as we mentioned earlier, they were already in the process of porting these games to the U.S. market and had an idea at that time that we weren't going to be seeing the system. So despite that... They were playing these games, these battery backup cartridges for both the home market and the abroad market, abroad being here. They developed this board, which, as you can see here, for this version of Zelda, has a battery in it. But the Kid Icarus one, which you couldn't see too well from that video, has the exact same board, just about without that battery there, but they had a spot to solder it on if you wanted to. So they had the option of releasing Kid Icarus with the battery backup to mirror the Famicom Disk System version, but didn't do it probably due to cost reasons. And that's the biggest reason why they didn't do it earlier than that. So Nintendo's been thinking about this for quite a few years before Zelda eventually came over in 1987, and then a bunch of games ever since. But look at the size of that thing. I mean, that thing is enormous. But let me ask you something. Things like batteries, like how often do you have to charge? Like my phone lasts maybe a day. When was the last time you changed a battery in your game? Anyone? Okay, not you. When was it actually?
Zelda game.
When did you do that? Just out of curiosity.
A year ago.
A year ago? Yeah. So. So these batteries can last a couple of decades, especially if you don't use them very often. And what they're doing is that they're basically holding memory. In a continuous loop using the circuit, kind of like your computer RAM. So if you turn off your computer, then everything goes away unless you hibernate it and save everything to your hard drive, which these don't have, or something like that. So who knows what the big, what the three-letter acronym is for these kinds of cartridges? Does anyone know what these are called? It starts with NAR. I know you do. They're called ROMs. Read-only memory, and that's the reason that you can't say data, because they are read-only. They're printed, they're physical circuits, and they cannot be altered, so you cannot save your game data. And this was, once it became economical, the solution going forward for at least a decade. And then CDs came in and ruined everything, but let's not talk about that. That's a whole different subject, I promise you. So, again, these games all came over to America. Metroid had a password save, a very infamous password. Does anyone know that password?
Justin Bailey?
Yes, Justin Bailey. Which they swear was not intentional. It was just a random output of their algorithm to create games. It's become a real thing, I think. That's also covered in some of their videos online as well. But there is one saving grace, and I hate this, because I'm such a hardware guy, but... the Virtual Console can help you save your games. Does anyone have a Wii or a Wii U? Or a 3DS? Any of those? You can download these games now for $5, $6, $8 a pop, depending. And then just save it into your SD card. Got mine here. We're all street passing right now. This should be fun. Check your stuff later. Anyone who's been listening to our podcast knows how much we love our physical media, so this really does pain me quite a bit. But if you want to keep your game safe going forward, this is one way to do it if you don't want to open up your cartridges like I did there, which happened to be a 5-screw. And Philip said, a flathead screwdriver that you used to open those up. Because you can't really save your games to the Virtual Console from your cartridge, unfortunately. There is also a piece of hardware that could do this. Anyone know what that is?
Everdrive.
That's true too. I was thinking of the Retron 5. So you can continue using the cartridge if you so wish. And it's kind of flaky though, but if you really need to use your hardware and don't want to go to Virtual Console, that is one thing that you can do until they get sued out of oblivion by stealing a bunch of their emulators, but that's a whole other story. Awesome.
If you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail, or just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can contact us on Facebook and Twitter, leave a comment on one of our videos, email us at denshimail or podcast@famicomdojo.tv, or leave a voicemail at 608-492-1923, and we'll play your clip on the show.
And I guess that's pretty much it. Anyone have any questions?
What's with the picture?
Oh, that? Oh, that's...
I should probably mention here that there's a picture of actor Eric King playing Sergeant James Doakes from the Showtime show Dexter, but photoshopped with a judge's wig, some sunglasses, and a caption that says, "All rise, mother effer." So, spoilers if you haven't seen Dexter Season 2 or this meme before.
Spoilers! This guy catches our good friend Dexter, who is a serial killer, who only kills other serial killers, and figures it out in Season 2. And his quote is, "Surprise, mother!" I'm not going to say that. But you get the idea. And then people do all different kinds of things with it. So I might have, on my Wii, done a little bit of artwork. A little creative license. I mean, "All Rise" rhymes with surprise. Sort of. Mostly.
Might put hearts on it.
Listen! Doakes is a dreamboat! I won't have anyone say otherwise. All right. Any questions about games? None whatsoever. Does anyone want to see another video if we have time?
Yeah.
All right. We have so much time. Good grief. Okay.
So making it through the main topic, we just showed videos for the rest of the time, mostly from the Winter Dojo, which you should really go watch if you haven't seen it yet. Don't Blow It especially got the biggest laughs of the panel.
Listen, if you're going to do it wrong, you better do it right.
Well, that's about it for Dice Show Con 2015, but we did have one more surprise for the audience. We hope you enjoyed this special Denshi Mail, and let us know if you want to do more of these in the future.
So we only have a few minutes left. Does anyone have any other questions? Did I plug the podcast enough yet? I don't feel like I've really done enough of that.
How about the DVD, Sean?
How about the DVD? Okay, there is a DVD for sale. It's from Season 1. It's not in HD. That's pretty cool. It's like $10. I got one here if anyone wants to buy one. In the back over here. But we are going to do something else. We are going to be running a Kickstarter, hopefully early next year. It's a lot of work doing a Kickstarter. We've been teasing this for a long time. But we actually have the video done. Hold on a second. Let's tease just a few minutes of this. That is a not complete version. Let me try this one. There we go.
I've heard this from Famicom because they can't be unplugged. For a little minor surgery.
Hey! What? You say? You mean only can't be unplugged?
Oh, oh, oh.
Hey, man. I'm good. What? Cheer up. You can have that lift in Metro. And they have some player one control in most games.
So they won't tell you. So then they'll cut the mic off. They'll be sure to walk on it.
What about Kickstarter?
Yeah, people just throw money at that. They funded some girl to go to RPG Maker Camp and made a console smarter than the PC Engine. Believe that.
smaller than this? No!
Then you entrusted Tim Schaefer with billions of dollars.
Well, what's he doing?
So they should have plenty of money for your arm.
But basic money for surgery is kind of against terms of service. There has to be some end product.
What kinds of things do Famicom Dojo fans want?
Greetings and welcome to Famicom Dojo. I am not Zach Braff, although like him, I do have a Kickstarter. And weird hatchet facial hair.
I challenge you to be a chicken.
I'm Sean Corse, aka Sean Orange, a retro game fan.
And I think I'm also a retro game fan, but I took things a step further and actually moved to Japan.
We created a little show called
Famicom. Maybe
you'll
forget.
It's Nathan Mike.
That's here from the eponymous Famicom Dojo shop in Japan. Well, there's more where that came from. We're out of time. But thanks, everyone, for coming. This will be up eventually once we get all the campaign all ready to go. So please follow us on our podcast there. Take a flyer home with you. I got a second beer. Buy a DVD if you would like. I can hang out there if you need me to. And, please just enjoy more of the show if you liked what you saw here. We'll come back to other conventions. We'll probably be at No Brand Con, the new Nerd and Tie Expo. I'll see if Nick is going to be on his show at some point. Maybe. We'll see. But, great. So, thanks again, everyone, for coming, and enjoy the rest of Daisho Con. Yay!
Famicom Dojo.